Border chief closes migrant pipeline amid blatant fraud, pending election. By Neil Monroe on August 3, 2024. Organized and blatant fraud has forced President Joe Biden's border chief to temporarily close his supposedly legal parole pipelines for 360,000 job-seeking migrants per year from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Biden's deputies claimed it was safe and legal, said Ira Melman, a spokesman for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, which exposed the fraud. Their own investigation indicates that it was riddled with fraud and poses risks to the American public. Shut it down permanently, responded House Speaker Mike Johnson, RLA. This admission by the Biden-Harris administration vindicates every warning we have ever issued about the unlawful CHNV mass parole program, said a statement by Representative Mark Green, the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee. The pipelines were created by President Joe Biden's pro-migration and impeached border chief, Alejandro Mayorkas. In June 2021, Vice President Kamala Harris touted his policy of creating orderly and humane migration paths to the United States. Since October 2022, Mayorkas's pipelines have already brought in roughly 520,000 people for the jobs and wages that would otherwise go to better-paid Americans. The inflow included people from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Roughly 200,000 people, including many police and medical experts, were pulled from Haiti, further destabilizing the unstable nation. Mayorkas's legal excuse was that migrants would stop crossing the border illegally if they were allowed to do so legally. The CHNV pipelines were quietly shut in mid-July following an internal investigation into the rampant fraud, which was similar to the rampant fraud seen in the H-1B visa program. Some of the fraud was conducted by immigrants in the country temporarily, The Washington Post reported. Agency officials denied responsibility in a statement to Breitbart News about the shutdown. Out of an abundance of caution, DHS has temporarily paused the issuance of advanced travel authorizations for new beneficiaries while it undertakes a review of supporter applications. DHS will restart application processing as quickly as possible, with appropriate safeguards. Agency officials insist they vetted the incoming migrants, despite a lack of data from their home countries. But the fraud was among the sponsors, many of whom sought money from migrants in exchange for seeking parole visas on their behalf. The fraud has been publicly acknowledged since the program opened. The Associated Press reported in February 2023. One Facebook post advertising paid sponsorships led to a person who identified himself as an American citizen living in Pensacola, Florida, told he was communicating with a journalist. The person refused to talk on the phone and would only text. The person told the Associated Press he had sponsored a Cuban uncle and aunt for $10,000 each. He refused to provide contact information for those relatives, then stopped responding to questions. Another would-be sponsor said via Facebook Messenger that they charge $2,000 per person, which includes a sponsorship fee, document processing, and an airline ticket. Requests for more information were answered with a phone number from the Dominican Republic that rang unanswered. "I'm looking for a sponsor for two people, please. My husband is in a wheelchair," reads a post from someone who says she lives in Havana. "I will give my house with everything inside and I'll pay $4,000 for each person sponsored." Fair described the agency's internal report about the open and unchallenged fraud. The applications, which are submitted electronically by sponsors, are not assessed by typical adjudicators but rather are reviewed by personnel who simply deem the application sufficient. According to the report, of the total 2.6 million received, nearly 529,000 applications were confirmed or approved, and around 118,000 were not confirmed or denied. Many sponsors submitted multiple sponsorships, similar to the H-1B fraud, where migrants paid corrupt executives to sponsor them for work permits. The report reveals that the 100 IP addresses accounted for 51,133 of the Form I-134A applications submitted. In one example, an IP address located in Tijuana, Mexico, was used 1,328 times. The report states that, on average, each IP address associated with these programs submitted 2.2 application forms, The report states that one sponsor phone number was reported on over 2,000 forms submitted by 200 different sponsors. Further, Olney Pirelli phone number was reported on 626 different forms and was associated with 238 different Pirelli last names and 142 different Pirelli addresses. The most frequently used sponsor email address was listed on 363 different forms. Further, the most frequently used Pirelli email address was listed on 1,723 different forms collectively submitted by 477 different sponsors. The sponsor submitted fraudulent information or refused to submit needed information. Sponsors often did not provide their income, even though the sponsor is financially required to support the alien. Sponsors that did provide their incomes often did not meet the financial threshold to support the number of parolees they intend to sponsor. The report also highlights that applicants used SSNs of deceased individuals and states that 24 of the 1,000 most used sponsor SSNs belong to a deceased individual. In one instance, the same answer was used 4,978 times, while a slightly different variation of the answer, using she versus he, was used 2,837 times, and another slightly different variation of the answer, using the, was used another 2,557 times. The report highlights the use of fraudulent social security numbers, SSN. The report shows that aliens often used similar SSNs, such as 111,111,111 or 123,456,789 or 666,666,666, proving that fraudulent data was being brazenly provided to the government. Many sponsors brought in many migrants. The report discusses how physical addresses were used over and over. It states there were 100 addresses used between 124 and 739 times on unique forms, and these 100 addresses were associated with 19,062 forms. The properties associated with the addresses on the forms include mobile home parks, warehouses, storage units, apartment complexes, and commercial properties. The review found that 739 forms used the address from a single mobile home park. Another 596 were attributable to a single warehouse, and 501 had an address to a storage unit. Media coverage of the shutdown has downplayed the brazen fraud. Officials said the unpublished report revealed possible problems, such as multiple applications from a single sponsor, said a report by Maria Sacchetti at The Washington Post under a boring headline, "Homeland Security Department Pauses Biden Parole Program for Four Countries." CBS News's Colombian-born reporter, Camila Montoya Galvez, also ignored the damning details of official negligence. Melman said the parole program itself is flagrantly illegal, aside from the sponsor fraud. The statute is very clear that parole can be used only on a case-by-case basis and for very specific national security and humanitarian interests, he said. What they have said is that they can just use it for anybody they want. But you can't have a program that lets 360,000 people in and claim that you're doing it on a case-by-case basis. Officials' hidden attitude is that we are just going to let people in any way we can, regardless of the consequences or the threats to the country, and regardless of who we might be endangering, he added. The legality of the program has not been settled. A federal judge in Texas invited attorneys general to refile a lawsuit against the program after blocking their first lawsuit because it did not claim the program inflicted more costs on the states than a comparable amount of illegal migration. "We're seeing the costs to the states and local governments where migrants are settling," Melman said. "It's breaking the bank in places like New York City." The administration's policy of importing workers is driving down Americans' wages and pushing up their rents. That pocketbook damage is pushing Latino voters toward President Donald Trump. Yahoo News reported on July 30. Many Hispanics who started out doing that kind of work have reached the middle class, but they are worried about crippling housing costs and the arrival of new immigrants who they fear might compete for jobs. "Something's got to change," said Margarita Valdovinos, a businesswoman who sells items such as handcrafted jewelry and describes herself as Republican. "People used to be able to rent a house, and now they have to get just one room. Extraction migration." Since at least 1990, the federal government has quietly adopted a policy of extraction migration to grow the consumer economy after it helped investors move the high-wage manufacturing sector to lower-wage countries. The migration policy extracts vast amounts of human resources from needy countries. The additional workers, white-collar graduates, consumers, and renters push up stock values by shrinking Americans' wages, subsidizing low-productivity companies, boosting rents, and spiking real estate prices. The little-recognized economic policy has loosened the economic and civic feedback signals that animate a stable economy and democracy. It has pushed many native-born Americans out of careers in a wide variety of business sectors, reduced Americans' productivity and political clout, slowed high-tech innovation, shrunk trade, crippled civic solidarity, and incentivized government officials and progressives to ignore the rising death rate of discarded, low-status Americans. Donald Trump's campaign team recognizes the economic impact of migration. Biden's unpopular policy is flooding America's labor pool with millions of low-wage illegal migrants who are directly attacking the wages and opportunities of hard-working Americans, said a May statement from Trump's campaign. The secretive economic policy also sucks jobs and wealth from heartland states by subsidizing coastal investors and government agencies with a flood of low-wage workers, high-occupancy renters, and government-aided consumers. Similar policies have damaged citizens and economies in Canada and the United Kingdom. The colonialism-like policy has also damaged small nations and has killed hundreds of Americans and thousands of migrants, including many on the taxpayer-funded jungle trail through the Darien Gap in Panama.